It is always a pleasure on Static to be joined on the phone by Austin from Parquet Courts. How's things?
Hey, pretty good, man. Nice to talk to you on our anniversary.
It is our anniversary. Every time Parquet Courts put a record out, we seem to check in. Are you guys getting the hang of this making records thing by now, Austin, in Parquet Courts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess what this is, like our fifth or sixth full-length record? Yeah, I would like to think we're getting the hang of it, learn the ins and outs, but, you know, every record is a new challenge, I think.
Do you make a game plan when you go in to make a record? Are there things that you think you want to include and exclude and stuff like that, or do you react to the previous record?
Yeah, there's definitely a reaction, or I guess like a desire for evolution from our previous record, but I guess the game plan is a bit different every time. Some of the records we've gone in and kind of figured it out as we went along and have had some pretty great results just improvising or making up the rules as we were in the studio. Mm-hmm. This time around, I think the plan was almost the opposite of that. We rented out a small recording studio kind of thing, had a very humble setup and recorded demos for like a year before going into a real recording studio to make Wide Awake.
Was the advance brief for this album, Wide Awake, to make it more danceable and more energetic? I mean, Andrew had said that he wanted less ballads than Human Performance.
Yeah, Human Performance was, I think, a unique record for us, considering it's a more introspective record. There were some ballady, anthemic tunes on there, and I think we had a goal at the outset where we wanted Wide Awake to be a bit different. We wanted it to be upbeat and have some real danceable moments on there and, you know, experiment with some different rhythms that we hadn't really had on any of our records before.
There's definitely some dance and some rhythm on songs like the title track. It's nice to hear that Parquet Courts can cut some rug, Austin, because that track's got more whistles, funky bass and cowbell than anything by any other Brooklyn band, you know, be it Chick 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 or The Rapture or anybody.
Sure, yeah, we got our razor blades out and really slid up that shag carpet, as they say.
Did you ever think you'd make a Parquet Courts disco song like that?
I've always wanted to, you know, like anytime I go out to like a sort of dance night or go see like a DJ or something, you know, I've had some pretty transcendental moments on the dance floor where I think I kind of put the guitar away and break out the synthesizers and turntables. But, you know, come down can be kind of harsh from those times.
I guess you guys haven't made your come down record yet, but to get this Parquet Courts album over the line, you also got Danger Mouse on board as a producer. Now, how did he enter your orbit? I heard he reached out to you guys?
Yeah, it's pretty curious how it all ended up. We had been making these demos for like about a year, and we were getting ready to go into the studio, and Danger Mouse, Brian Burton, he gave us a call, and you know, he heard we were making a new record. I assume he was talking with Daniel Loopy, who he's worked with before on a record called Rome, and then we did the follow-up record to that called Milano. And I guess he was just really curious about what kind of band we were and what we were really interested in doing with our next record. And we ended up hanging out and listening to music and kind of talking about what we were working on and playing some of the demos. And I think, like, we were also really curious about what someone of his prestige would bring to our process. And we never really had worked with a producer on a Parquet Courts record before. And, you know, we're always trying to do new things and take on new challenges, and this felt like a part of the process which we hadn't investigated before, having a producer, and it worked out. I was really expecting him to kind of put us through like some Danger Mouse filter, but yeah, really it was kind of the opposite of the way it worked out, where he was kind of just helping us make the best Parquet Courts record that we could make, and he was there to provide a objective or outside opinion and kind of see the bigger picture while we were kind of diving into the deep stuff.
So no alarm bells went off for you guys then, Austin? You weren't worried that a producer, a name producer like that, might want to change you too much? That was allayed pretty quickly?
Well, you know, I guess there's always a concern whenever you bring a new person into the team whenever you're making a record, and I think that we're all a bit proceeding with caution, I think. And although he's had great success in the music industry, he's made a ton of hits, none of us really knew his catalog that well. I was familiar with, like, the Gorillaz, you know, the singles, and Gnarls Barkley, and I felt like what made sense to me was how easily he's able to flow through different genres, and I think that's something that we try to do in our group, so that was kind of the context that I put it in, and I think that's what ended up happening with the record. His knowledge of music is just vast, and we weren't stumping him with any references or anything. He was right there with us.
So Danger Mouse can play parquet courts bingo, can he, and keep up?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we were throwing out, you know, great Australian punk bands that we like, and you know, he was like, oh yeah, I saw them play when they came to Brooklyn. It was a great show. It's just like, all right.
This is your guy.
Keep up.
You guys in Parquet Courts are getting used to working well with others, though, because a lot of the last album, Human Performance, came together at Wilco's studio, The Loft, and as you mentioned, you had that connection also working with Danielle Lupi on that Milano album, which led to Danger Mouse coming in. So it's been good to see all these people enter the Parquet Courts orbit and, in a way, as you say, not get changed too much or not have a heavy hand on those records.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, for us, it's always about being open to new ideas and kind of staying loose and nimble. And I think the last thing that we want to do is get boxed in and be like genretized as a certain kind of band who makes a certain kind of record. I mean, that's just boring. And I mean, that's the last thing that we want to be, is bored. And I feel like working with Danger Mouse or Daniel Lupi, Karen O, and Jeff Tweedy, all the way to Bun B on Captive of the Sun, all these things, when we talk about them or come up with these ideas, they seem interesting, and I feel like if we're interested in doing it, the other people will be interested as well if they're fans of the group.
Despite using this name producer, Austin, it's also reassuring to hear how weird and gritty this Parquet Courts album still is. There's space echo aplenty, and the creepy slowed down vocals and swampy funk on Violence are a wild listen as well. Yeah. So you didn't iron out too many rough edges either.
No, I mean, that kind of stuff is really fun and interesting. I feel like we're coming at this record with a lot of different influences. I think a lot of funk stuff, anything from like Parliament or Shuggie Otis to Talking Heads, and there's a lot of dub music going on. I think you hear that a lot with the space echo. And listening to like a lot of Lee Scratch Perry's dub remixes, and Grace Jones was a kind of a big sleeper influence on the record. Stuff like that that we like to kind of figure out ways to work it into what we do, which obviously is much different than those.
On the flip side, I mean, you haven't ironed out the softer side of Parquet Courts altogether, because there's those sort of Beach Boys harmonies on Mardi Gras Beads, and you even pulled in a children's choir on Death Will Bring Change. So Austin, is that your own Langley Schools music project thing? Were you leading the choir on that one?
Yeah, I was leading the choir on that one, and I'm telling you, it's the most challenging experience I've ever had as a musician. Working with like 8-year-olds at 9 in the morning on just a few hours of sleep. These are like Upper East Side 9-year-olds. They're pretty serious.
They took it way more seriously than Parquet Courts ever do, did they?
Yeah, for about 20 minutes. For as long as their attention span lasted, they were very serious. I got them to do like 4 takes. 2 of them we couldn't use, and I think one of them was like the microphone was in the wrong place or something. So I ended up getting 1 good take out of 4 attempts. And then after that, their eyes kind of glazed over, and they were just like looking really to get it out of the room. I think it was snack time or something. And after 4 takes, I was like, all right, so let's try it again, and we'll get it, you know, do this or that. And then there was a kind of a school teacher figure in the room who kind of looked at me, and I saw like the kids all kind of looked at the ground and kind of felt looking deflated, and it's like, all right, you know, never mind. I think we're going to have to work with this.
Your time is up. Just, yeah.
They were done. Yeah, the 20 minutes, they were absolutely done.
Never work with children or animals, Austin.
Yeah, that is a phrase that I heard after I did this. And, yeah, I've heard it a lot since then.
Apart from wrangling kids, were you able to mic up any weird instruments this time around? Because when we spoke in the wake of the last album, Human Performance, you were talking about how you had mic'd up some cars to honk from the yard on Dust. So was there anything outside of Small Children that was even more interesting that made it onto Wide Awake?
You know, when we were out in recording this record, we were out in the West Texas desert. We had this studio called Sonic Ranch, which is a 3,000-acre pecan farm right on the border of Mexico. I mean, I can't even really tell you, like, what town it's in. It's not really in a town. It's just kind of out there. And there was a few sessions of shooting cans, you know, with guns. And we mic'd up the guns a few times, so if you listen closely, you can hear a few gunshots under the snare drum on certain songs.
Nice to hear that in Trump's America, gun noises made it onto the Parquet Courts album in 2018. That feels very appropriate.
Yeah, you know, to be fair, there's a little bit of nuance to it. These are hunting rifles, but... Yeah, I get what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, it's great to have the record out, Austin, and I know for a fact we'll see Parquet Courts here at some point to tour the album, but for now, we'll have a listen to Freebird 2 off the record right now. It was great to get you on the phone.
Yeah, great talking.
And we'll see Parquet Courts here at some point. This is Freebird 2 on Static. Thanks for the chat.
Yeah, man, we'll do it again next year. I've learned how not to miss.